You've reached the voicemail box of Jiggles the Clown! Leave a message when it honks!
Hi there, Jiggles. Tiffany Allen, you remember from Little Damien's birthday party last year. Listen, I know that part of the lawsuit settlement was that I would never call you again, but Little Damien, he just loves your routine, and he's been writing your name in blood on our walls.
Oh, Tiffany, is that the clown?
Yeah.
Ask him if he could do the thing where he bleeds out of his eyes again. Damien really liked that.
So Jiggles, if you could possibly come next Saturday, we're having a birthday for baby Damien, and if you do the bleeding out your eyes thing again, we'll throw in an extra $50. Oh, and if you could bring your pony again. I know it didn't go so well the last time, but Damien said that it was delicious.
Said it was the best soul he ever had.
Call me back. Thanks, Jiggles.
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Let's do this.
We're doing it.
So long.
We're doing it long and hard.
I need sustenance.
Water.
Here, I'll pee in your mouth. Thank you.
Wow, guys.
Ed, your pee tastes like orange soda.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should probably go see a doctor.
Do you want some more?
Yeah, just fill up this cup.
Okay.
It's carbonated, too. It's just orange soda.
Yeah, I should go see a doctor.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of orange soda. Do you think that could be it?
It could be. You should probably go see a doctor and stop drinking so much orange soda.
Yeah.
What about this main line of orange soda that I have going directly into my veins?
That's probably a bad idea, especially because of the carbonation bumps.
Yeah. You should probably be dead. Hey, everybody! Welcome to another Ragnarok Actual Play. Ryan, pass me your iPad, because today we are playing Fiasco!
Oh, yeah, hang on, let me get back into the,
Do it.
The other place.
Do it.
Because I switched us into the Living Dead, since we are...
Right, well, we are playing,
Break a Leg!
I broke my leg! We are playing Break a Leg, which is a theatre playset, but we are also using the Living Dead, because... It is October, and it is spooky up here in this Ragnarok, bitch.
Zip-zap-zooky. Zip-zap-zooky. I saw a ghost that was downright spooky.
That is Ed and I referencing a very obscure and not very good SNL skit starring Kenan Thompson.
Yeah.
So this is the score for Break a Leg. All the world's a frickin' stage. The director slept with half the cast, your lighting designer is homicidal, and that bastard from the Daily News just panned the show in his column. You'll be lucky on opening night if the cast remembers their lines. Nobody mentions the Scottish play, and the scenery doesn't fall down mid-performance. But hey, the art is all that's important, right? Break a Leg is a tribute to the grand traditions and superstitions of the theater, from the casting couch to the Great White Way. Movie night, waiting for Guffman, slings and arrows, extras, noises off, an awfully big adventure. All right.
Noises off is fantastic.
What?
I said noises off is fantastic.
Which one is that?
That's the one where it's with Michael Caine and Carol Burnett, where they're putting on the show and, like, it gets screwed up, and then the cast, they're all sleeping with each other, and, like... Part of the play is the play that they're putting on, and then the second act is, like, the play from the backstage.
I never saw it.
I think you watched it with me once.
Oh.
The movie.
I saw Birdman.
Yeah.
That was good. That was about a play. Done in, like, 5 takes. And then I interviewed one of the writers. He's cool. Nice. But, yeah, so we're doing that, but we're also subbing in zombies.
Switch us back to the zombie playset.
So basically, we have, instead of regular Fiasco where we have good dice and bad dice, we have good dice, bad dice, and stunt dice. So we have 4 of each. Whenever we grab a stunt dice, zombies happen. So we're not going to have an zombie. So we're not going to have an entire thing of play. Sorry for all the theater nerds who were just busting a nut at us doing a fake show from Fiasco. But that is not happening.
We are doing a fake show.
Well, right. Not for the entire Fiasco.
No.
Eventually, maybe. We don't know. We'll find out.
Into zombie apocalypses.
The show must go on.
That's true.
Okay, so if you guys want to hear more, we have a Ragnarok pre-play, which is what we're calling our setups now, because it's an awesome name that I came up with just now. Well, before. It was just then when it happened before. So you can go listen to our Ragnarok replay.
On the semen or food debate.
Right. Semen or food, which is worse.
Yeah.
Well, no, really, it's semen or shit.
Yeah.
Which is worse. So, yeah, go weigh in on that debate if you want to. You don't have to. It's probably better off not getting involved in that. Yeah. So why don't we introduce our characters? I guess I will start. Well, Ed, why don't you start, since you're the writer and director.
All right. I am Ed. I will be playing Professor George Fern, writer, director, and supporting actor in Waiting for Godot, the musical. That's in parentheses with an exclamation point. Is he the owner of the Blue Box Theater?
No, we're renting it.
We're renting it? So this is a theater. So we're renting the space from whoever owns it.
Oh, if we're the Blue Box Players, then...
Well, no, because if it's a community theater...
Well, you'd probably be like the house playwright, right? I would think, or are we...
Maybe you're just the only one I guess it would depend on the town. We never really decided on the town.
Right.
Someone else might own it, but maybe you're the only guy who wants to put on shows here. Or, well, like, one of two.
Because if it's a community theater, then... The owner is probably actively involved with the theater.
I mean, okay, you could be the owner if you want, or the owner could be an NPC.
All right, so maybe I'm just like the owner's bitch.
Officially, you're the house playwright, but he sends you out for coffee and for to make photocopies regularly.
And this is my big chance.
It's your big break. Yeah. No. He's not the house playwright. He's like. Creative director.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so tell us, what was your impetus behind Waiting for Godot, the musical?
Are you really asking me?
Yes.
I wrote a parody involving a satire. I wrote a satirical play involving Waiting for Godot, the musical, in college.
And for your character, why did he write Waiting for Godot?
Okay.
The musical.
Well, we gotta wait for the show for that, for the game.
Ah.
I can't tell you.
All right.
Did I say my name?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're Professor George Fern. Hey, everybody. I'm Alex, and I'm playing Phil Hauser. And by golly, I'm just really happy to be here. I'm playing Dee Dee, who apparently is one of the leads of the show. I mean, it's crazy. I never expected it.
He's actually in the script. He's Vladimir.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Vladimir. All right, let me make a note of that.
But he's called
Vladimir. Okay. All right. I'm Phil. My son Dougie. He's he's the kid in all the shows. He's playing the messenger boy, and you know. I was here, and my good buddy Mark said I should try out, so I figured, what the heck, let's give it a shot. And here I am. Ow. It's crazy.
Speaking of which, hey, everybody, I'm Ryan. I'm going to be playing the Blue Box Theater's regular star, Mark Domingo. That's Mark with a Q. Everybody loved me in Guys and Dolls and Sweeney Todd, and I'm playing the other lead in...
You're the local big fish.
Right. In a very small pond. I'm playing Estragon, otherwise known as Go-Go. And yeah, that's...
Did you mention, Alex, that your son is playing the boy?
Yeah,
yes. Okay. Dougie Hauser.
I encouraged my good buddy Phil to audition, figuring that he would never make it, and he ended up being cast opposite me.
You know all of us because you're at all the cast parties.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm at every show. Yeah. You know, I'm always dropping Dougie. You know, sometimes I hang out for rehearsal when you guys let me. I'm just, like I said, I'm just really excited to be here. This is fantastic, guys.
I know this guy, by the way.
Phil Hauser?
Yeah.
All right, so, Ed, I guess you're starting us off.
All right, so...
Mr. Director.
I think we should open up with the first scene from Waiting for Godot.
Okay.
So, I think, the lights up on a bare stage. There's just a park bench sitting in the middle of it. There's a cardboard cut out of a tree to the left.
Wait. This is your interpretation of it, though.
Yeah.
Well, this is your character's interpretation. Is anything different?
No, that's...
Okay.
That's what it is. That's how it... Because I know, that's how Waiting for Godot.
I was going to say, you said before that Samuel Beckett's estate has exacting standards about how Waiting for Godot can be staged.
Right.
Did you actually get the rights from the Beckett estate?
No. All right.
So then you can do whatever the hell you want.
So, well, that's why I was saying, there's supposed to be a dusty trail. There's supposed to be all this stuff. But that's not there. It's just a cardboard cutout of an apple tree and a park bench. And that's it.
It was the apple tree from the apple tree.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
No. It was the apple tree from East of Eden, the musical. No, there was an apple tree in that one. Well, yeah, don't worry about it.
So, there's a park bench, and I think... So the cinematically... You don't see the stage yet. You just see sort of the park bench and the cardboard cutout of the tree.
Are we doing the performance or are we doing like rehearsals?
Are we? Is this an in costume dress rehearsal?
Yeah. Right now, I think it's just a rehearsal, but you don't know that yet. You just see the stage, and two figures dressed as hobos. You got on, you know, long like patchy coats and bowler hats. You got on like charcoal beard.
So this is like Hell Week.
Wait, we're both guys. Why wouldn't we just grow a beard?
Because
this is his interpretation.
Because
he's the director. You're right.
You're right. I'm sorry. I'm new at this.
Because Mark's beard wasn't beardy enough.
Gotcha.
Mark can't grow a beard. It makes him really indignant.
Mark can't grow a beard, so I pulled you aside and was like, just
shave it away. Yeah. Okay, sure thing. Sure thing, boss. Professor.
You had been spending all this time growing out.
I grew this awesome beard.
Beautiful beard. Alright, so you guys walk out and you start the scene.
Okay, well, I can't read across the table and I don't actually know the opening scene of Waiting for Godot. I'm sorry. It's been so long.
Alright, let me move over next to Ryan.
Hang on, we can do this. Nothing to be done.
I'm beginning to come round to that opinion. All my life I've tried to put it from me, saying, Vladimir, be reasonable. You haven't yet tried everything. And I resumed the struggle. So there you are again.
Am I?
I'm glad to see you're back. I thought you were gone forever.
Me too.
Together again at last. We'll have to celebrate. But how?
Help me off with these boots and I'll show you.
And then all of a sudden a jaunty beat starts. And the two of you start singing... you start singing the song Waiting for Godot. I'm Gogo and Dee Dee, and then...
Alright! Stop! What? Oh.
Was there a problem with that, Professor?
Yeah, but I thought we were doing pretty well that time.
Yes, of course. I just felt that, your entry into the song, you look like you were, you look like you were singing.
Well, aren't we?
Well, yes, but you looked like you were singing.
Oh.
You understand, you see? Yes.
Yes, I get it. I get it, too.
I want you to sing.
So we're supposed to sing, but not look like we're singing.
Sing without singing.
Wow.
You see, the struggle...
Is real.
Now, if you can manage that, I think the rest of the play will just about do itself.
All right, sing without singing.
Yes. Listen, you've been up for a while, so why don't we take a break? Come down into the house, and we'll do some of our exercises.
All right.
Sure thing.
All right. Don, can we have the house lights, please?
You hear a dunk, and the house lights come back up.
It is a small black box theater with risers and folding chairs set up. Someone has painted the entire inside of the black box theater a bright blue.
Yes, even the floor.
George, Professor Fern is sitting there. In his lucky costume, which is just sort of white rags. He's got a long blonde wig, and he's got really pale makeup on. And sitting next to him, snoring loudly, is Richard Angle, the man playing Pazzo, who's just a fat guy wearing a button-down shirt and, like, tweed
he's
pants.
Just a fat guy in a coat.
And suspenders. Richard! Richard! We're doing our exercises.
Oh, I told you not to call me that.
Pazzo?
Yes?
We're doing our exercises.
Oh, very good.
Mark, why don't you lead them?
All right. Big booty.
I was big really
booty.
Hoping.
Oh, yeah. Big booty, big booty, big booty. Big booty number one.
Number one, number two.
Number two, number one.
Number one, big booty.
No, nope, Ed's already out.
All right. Looks like you're out, Professor.
Damn. Oh, it's all right. You'll get it one of these days.
How did you pick this game up so quickly?
Oh, Dougie and I play it all the time. The first time you guys played it, he came home. He was like, Dad, you want to play Big Booty? And I was like, what are you talking about, son? But he showed it to me, and gosh, it's just lots of fun.
Well, it's fun isn't the point of Big Booty.
The point is to keep you sharp, keep you on your toes, make sure you're paying attention.
Oh, right, of course. It's not about fun.
You can learn a lot from Mark.
That's right.
Oh, of course, I know. I've learned so much
Mark
from Mark.
Mark is our star.
I know. That's why his name is first on the billboard, on the marquee outside.
And he's my star in more ways than one.
Uh-huh. You.
All right. Let's try our next exercise. I want the both of you to close your eyes. All right. Now I want you to picture a drop of blood dripping from your temple. Your left temple.
Ow!
No, it's not painful. It's beautiful.
Whose blood is this?
That's the question.
Oh, my God. What have I done?
Professor.
Whose blood
professor,
is this?
Excuse me.
Why do I have someone else's blood on me?
I'm just...
Oh!
Did you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
See, Mark? He felt it.
He did, but, like, I always pictured this as more of an internal monologue exercise. You know, it runs in your own head.
Yes, well, maybe sometimes you're just so excited that you can't hold it in.
Right. I can do that. I can do that, too.
Now, I would like to ask you two a very important question. Opening night is tomorrow, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Have you sold your tickets? Have you given out, sold any tickets?
Damn right I have.
Phil.
Phil?
Oh, yeah, I sold them all to the guys down at the shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
All shop.
Yeah, where well, you know, I go down to the shop sometimes, pick up some tools, you know, when I'm doing my woodworking and, you know, things like that. I was making a chair for Mrs. Henderson.
Do you think that Beckett is going to speak to a bunch of grease monkeys?
Oh, well, I mean, the guys all seem pretty excited about coming down. I figured, I mean, and you're always talking about how we, you know, theater, you know, has to go to the masses so that they get the message and then the art. So I figure what better way to, you know, to get the masses in than to bring in some asses? Because you know? It's in masses.
And I don't know about that one, Phil. I mean, your friends all seem kind of... I don't mean to sound offensive here, but they're a little lowbrow.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you know, they're all blue collar guys like me, but you know, they just they seemed excited for it. I already sold 50 tickets.
Perhaps they would be better entertained at the main stage show, which is Annie, I believe.
Oh, I could talk to them, see if they want to get a refund. For their
no refunds. All sales are fine.
Oh, well then, why don't they just come down here then? They'll have a good old time.
Right, we'll just perform to a room full of hyper-judgmental and probably drunk.
Well, oh, no, man.
You Philistines!
Well, I mean, they don't really have anything to do with me other than, you know, I know them from the shop, but no, they're a good bunch, no. They're a good bunch of guys.
Phil, not... Philistine. Yes. Listen, I want the two of you to go back to your dressing rooms, and I want you to imagine yourselves as babies.
Babies.
I want you to pretend you're babies for an hour. Do not stop, no matter what happens.
Are we us as babies, or are we other babies?
Good question. I'm not going to answer that.
Whoa. All right. Well, come on, Mark. Let's go be babies.
All right.
I mean, goo goo gaga.
Mark, you wait here. I would like to speak with you briefly.
Phil walks off towards the dressing room.
Richard?
Which is a closet.
Richard, off you go. Potso? Off you go.
And Potso, try not to shit your pants this time. We don't actually have any adult-sized diapers.
Don't you tell me what to do!
Now, I would like to speak to you about what you were doing last night.
Okay, sure thing. What was I doing?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I was just reading the lines as you wrote them and as you've directed me through them in every rehearsal for the last month and a half.
And did it ever occur to you that I might be looking for something a little more than what I told you to do?
Listen, Georgie, I don't know what you want from me. I've been giving you everything I got every night. I'm burning out. I'm supposed to be on vocal rest right now.
Yes. Yes, yes, you are. But I'm not even speaking professionally right now. I'm speaking about your total disregard for me last night. As you performed up there, you looked only at Philip. Never once casting a glance into the audience at me.
I mean, he is the other lead. I'm supposed to be paying attention to what he says and what he does, and we have many scenes together.
Yes, yes. And your point is?
Is this why you didn't want to cuddle after rehearsal?
What I'm trying to tell you is that what you're doing is all wrong. Everything that you're doing is terrible.
I see.
And I would like for you to do it differently.
Okay. I can appreciate that. I will give you everything that I have inside to give.
Now. I think it's about time somebody pretended to be a baby.
And Mark wanders into the back room, you know, like giving George the side eye.
All right.
Wah!
All right, how is this going to end badly for me?
I think it already did. You found out that your highbrow art show is
going to
be viewed by a group of grease monkeys.
Okay. All right. Next is Alex.
Yes. So I guess it is at least an hour later. We're done being babies. and we come back for more rehearsal? Or is it opening night? No, it can't really be opening night.
We can do flashbacks.
All right, so that's it. Why don't we flashback to auditions?
Okay.
So Phil's there. He's sitting in the theater next to Dougie, who just finished his audition and totally nailed it.
And so you're sitting outside of the auditorium, And you just hear from inside the auditorium, "Consider yourself one of us."
Nailed it.
Bravo, Douglas! Bravo!
Oh, good. He comes out. Good job, Dougie. I knew you had it.
Thanks, Dad.
Let's say, say Phil.
Oh, hey, Mark.
It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, you too.
So, when are we going to get you up there?
Oh, I don't know. I'm more of a, you know, in the seats kind of dad. I don't know how Dougie would feel about that if I was on stage there with him. What do you think, Dougie? Should I try out?
Yeah, Dad, why don't you try out? I'd love for you to be in the show. That would be cool.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, maybe I will.
Mom always does the shows, but there are no girls in this show.
That's, you know, that's right. So, okay, you know what? I don't have anything prepared, but sure, I'll go try out.
Don, the stage manager, looks at you. Dougie was the last one, so he probably has room for you if you want to go in.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. I run. Oh, hello, Professor Fern. my name's Phil Hauser. I'm
Dougie's... Oh, Phil, good to see you.
Oh, no, Phil.
Dougie was great.
Oh, I heard him outside. He was. But, you know, Dougie said, and Mark suggested that I try out, so I figured, what the heck, if you got time... Can I try out?
Well, most of the roles have been cast.
Heck, I don't care. I'll take any part. I'll be a tree if you need.
We do need that tree.
We do need the tree. Technically, I haven't cast Vladimir yet, but I was going to play that role.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. No.
But you know what? I'd love to. We'd love to see what you got. Hmm?
Okay. What do I do? I don't really know.
Well, first you need a monologue.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what? Mark. You know how sometimes we record people's auditions?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should record this one.
Oh, all right, I'll get the video camera.
Yes.
Oh, shucks, guys. I it's not going to be good.
It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Every time somebody has their first audition, we always record it, right?
It's kind of a theater tradition here.
Yes.
Oh, well, if it's a tradition, I don't want to get in the way of that.
So we'll record it.
All right. So Mark comes in with a video camera, sets it up. All right, and you're on, Phil.
Professor
Fern, a monologue?
Monologue. It's a soliloquy, something that you speak to yourself. Here. Do this. He hands you. A monologue from
Hamlet.
Hamlet.
I was gonna say.
He hands you "To Be or Not to Be."
To be. Oh! I've heard of this one.
Yes.
Okay. Let me get out my glasses. Doug's going to call me an old fogey. He reaches into his pocket, takes out his glasses, puts them on, and then just nails it. I don't feel like
doing it. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I was going to look it up for you. But... So he gives this...
To be or not to be.
There's just silence.
Ah, oh, shucks. I messed it up, didn't I? Ah, oh, well, no, it's all right. It was just a...
No. Phil, that was great. That was
really?
Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Wow. Well, thank you.
But you also need to sing for the role.
Oh, you're right. It's a musical. That's
right. Right. Don, could you get Patricia back in here? We need somebody to play. The role, the ranges. Do you know "Bring Him Home" from Les Miserables?
No, can't say
can
I
you,
do.
Can you read music here? Can you sign read?
No, sorry, Professor.
Patricia, play, work with him for.
She sits down at the piano and just kind of sighs.
Work with him for a few minutes. Teach him the song, and maybe he can sing. I would definitely love to get a recording of you singing "Bring Him Home."
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
All right.
All right, so we'll just leave you two alone for a few minutes, and then, you know, come back in. Call us when you're ready.
Oh, okay. So, Patricia, what was a few minutes past? Call you back in.
Then we walk outside, and I feel like it should be, like, a really short amount of time. Yeah. Like,
by the time you get outside.
We walk outside, and
that was beautiful.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know that Phil had it in him.
No, but he's definitely not going to be able to sing this song.
Guys, I think I got it.
All right.
Yeah, no, Patty here, as soon as she started playing it, I got it. It's fine. Okay. So he just breaks out to this beautiful falsetto. Bring him home. Bring him
home. Again. Dead silence.
Okay, now that one I messed up. I don't know. I went too high, right? What's it called, Patty? I was sharp? Or flat?
No.
I don't know.
No, that was perfect.
What? Get out of town!
Patricia is like wiping away tears, and I've never heard anyone perform it so beautifully.
Well, thanks, Patty.
I cannot, in all good conscience, cast myself as Vladimir. So, Phil, congratulations. You are cast.
I'm in the show, me?
Yes.
Well, you hear that, Dougie? I'm in the show.
Wow, Dad.
So, who's Vladimir? What part is that?
It's the lead. Phil, it's one of the leads.
No! So you and me, Mark, we're going to be... Oh, man. Professor, thank you. He shakes your hand. Thank you. Oh, man, just wait until I go home and tell Betty about this.
She'll be shocked, I'm sure.
Yes, well, maybe, you can actually learn a few lessons from him, huh, Mark?
Yeah, maybe I can. Look at that. It turned out we were out of tape the whole time.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
I could do it again if you want to grab another
tape. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
We're good.
All right.
As you're leaving, you look over and you see Patricia takes a little vial out of her. It's like a little plastic vial out of her pocket, and she pours it into her bottle of water, and a green liquid comes out, and she shakes it up.
Foreshadowing. I like it.
It's every time someone resolves with a white die.
Okay,
so you roll all four white dice. Yep. And then you pick a zombie element.
Zombie! Alright, foreboding, instability, irrationality, desperation, safety, or escape.
I feel like we should stick with foreboding if possible.
Are they drawn here by memory? Instinct? Maybe they're coming for us. It's opening night. Okay. We don't notice that the crowds are zombies.
That's.
But what else we got? We got three, irrationality. No, we're not there yet. Okay, yeah, so I need next card. So zombie one, we have foreboding.
What's a yacht for?
What?
Foreboding.
Oh. So.
That's awful.
It's a call out from Rocky Horror.
Is it?
Yeah. I have this terrible feeling of, what's a yacht for?
Foreboding. All right.
All right, so that's the first zombie. Are they drawn here by memory? Instinct? Maybe they're coming for us.
So Patricia shakes up the green liquid, and she opens it, and she takes a sip. Oh! Oh. Sorry, it's a new vitamin treatment I'm taking. It's disgusting. disgusting. Tastes like death.
Ah! Alright, Ryan.
Alright.
You're up, chummer.
And then I think wherever it fades into, it's Patricia's drinking the vitamin water again.
Nice. I was going to say, did you guys want to do opening night, or do you think it's too early for that?
I think it's too early.
Okay.
I think Act 2 should be opening night and zombies.
All right.
I think zombies happen during opening night.
Oh, yeah,
I would think so. All right. So I don't really have any ideas for any more scenes, so I'm going to resolve, and I kind of think that Mark is a duplicitous airhead.
Oh, we're supposed to give our dice away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to say that things end badly for Mark.
So what happens in the end with zombie dice?
Do they not count?
Yeah, they don't count towards... Okay. Stunt dice don't count toward your ending.
Well, there you go, Ed. You have nothing. You resolved and it ended badly. I don't know.
Maybe you should be...
Oh, shit, I have an idea. I don't know if I'm allowed to suggest it, because I resolved.
Go for it.
We were just pretending to be babies for an hour, and yep. I lost my voice.
Okay.
All right, so Phil walks back out of the dressing room. Professor, my head is so clear. It's like I get it now.
Well, that's the point of the exercise. You're supposed to... revert to your most primal part of life, and then
right, and then that's where it springs from.
You unlearn what you have learned.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a great exercise.
Oh, Phil, you all right? Oh, wait, I'm Phil. Yeah. Mark, you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good. There's just a lot of primal screaming back there. Oh. For the past hour.
Oh, wait, Patty, can I have your water bottle for a second? Mark needs a sip.
Yeah, here.
Ends badly. No, it ends badly for him.
That's true.
So he takes a big swig and goes, oh, what is that, Patricia?
It's called vitamin Z. It's a... A new health supplement that come out with, supposed to help with vitality and energy. I've been drinking it for about 3 months. Hasn't done much for me, but...
Oh, that is rank.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Betty's been drinking it. I don't see the appeal.
Oh, put that away.
Well, I mean, he needs something to, like, coat his throat, right?
George, what am I going to do? We're on tomorrow.
Well, perhaps you shouldn't have been screaming so loud.
perhaps you should have been on vocal rest.
You should have been on vocal rest like you were supposed to be.
Well, perhaps somebody shouldn't have told me that I should pretend to be a baby for an hour.
Oh,
Excuse me, there are many different kinds of babies. I happen to be a very quiet baby. Maybe you should have tried to be more like me.
You know what? You're right. You are a baby. A huge baby.
Oh, real mature.
Guys, come on.
Listen, you don't know how things work. This is your first rodeo.
Yep.
This ain't my first rodeo. So, don't try to intrude on
what's going on. I'm just saying, you know, fighting's not going to help anything. You know, maybe Mark can, like, you know, drink some more water and tea with honey. You know, that's what you drink when you got a sore throat, and, you know, he can sit down for an hour, maybe just, you know, be quiet, you know, rest his...
And you're a doctor now.
You know what? I think that Phil has a point. I think I'll do that. I think I'll go home to my own apartment tonight and have myself a nice glass of tea with honey and lemon.
You do that, and I will go back to my duplex apartment and take a nice hot bath in the hot tub. And then I'll sleep in my king-size bed. Alone.
And then I'll go home to my wife and have dinner and then give her a kiss and we'll go to sleep in our full-size bed.
What are you doing?
I thought we were just talking about what we were going to do for the rest of the night. You know, maybe we'll watch some TV.
Nobody cares what you're doing.
Oh, okay. This is you. Okay, okay. I see. I'm gonna go sit with Rich. Patso. I keep calling him Richard.
So yeah, Mark storms off and.
Mark, honey.
George follows off after him.
Phil sits down next to Richard. Those two. Oh, he's okay. He's sleeping. That's fine. I'll leave him be.
All right. And I will give. I love Phil so much.
Thank you.
He's just precious.
You know he's gonna die, right?
Probably.
All right. So back to you, Eddie. Oh, by the way, just so you know, I got the thank you note you sent for your wedding, and you signed your own name, Eddie. Yeah. It's done.
What?
It's official.
You're Eddie now. Yeah.
You're Eddie. You're not Ed anymore.
I know. Oh, okay, I just thought of something. Richard has sleep apnea. So he stops breathing while he's sleeping.
Okay, okay. So you're resolving then? Or, you know what, I'll resolve for you, yeah, with a stunt die, because that makes sense.
So, Richard has sleep apnea. I think so. We'll figure it out, and so he has. So we'll figure it out in this scene. He has sleep apnea, which will open it up for a later time when he dies, and we find him. We think he's sleeping.
Well, then don't give him a stunt die.
Yeah, I thought you were. Yeah, okay. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. All right. So you want to go right from that scene? We'll. You know.
Oh. Wait. So maybe. We're in a small town, so zombies have already started in some of the big cities, and it's, like, slowly spreading. So what if it's the morning of, you go to open up the theater, and the power's out?
Okay. But the... Dawn! I pick up my phone and I call Don, the stage manager. Don!
What is it, Professor?
I need you to come here and look at the fuse box or something. I don't know, the lights aren't going on.
Huh, that's strange. Have you been watching the news at all, Professor?
No, I don't have time. I went home and went to sleep.
They're saying something.
Can you get here as soon as you can? I'm gonna go get a cup of coffee.
He hangs saying, up on it. They're saying she says they're saying something about a state of
Wow, I don't feel bad for your character at all. Like, you deserve to be eaten by zombies. Yeah.
He walks to the deli next door. Milt?
Hello, Professor.
Your power's out, too?
Oh, yeah, whole block.
That's weird.
It's probably just something at the power plant. They'll get it fixed.
Yeah, I just called Dawn. She should be here any minute. I thought it was a fuse or something.
No, whole block. But it'll come back on sooner or later.
Do you have a... any hot coffee or anything?
I mean, it went out about a half hour ago. Put pots on. It might still be hot.
Oh, all right.
It's on the house because it's a little cold.
Thank you. I don't suppose you're coming to the show.
Oh, yeah. Phil came by, sold me a ticket the other day. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to
it. Have you ever... He opens up the microwave, puts his coffee in. Right.
Bill Power.
I don't suppose you ever... You know Beckett at all?
No, I never met the guy.
Sam Beckett?
No, is he from around here?
Is that the guy
from... Yeah, I was going to say... Oh, you mean from Quantum Leap?
The guy from Quantum Leap?
No. No, not the guy from Quantum Leap.
Oh.
This Samuel Beckett was Sam Beckett first. The Quantum Leap guy came second. And his real name is Scott Bakula.
Wait, so his name is Scott Bakula, but everyone calls him Sam Beckett?
No, He played a character named Sam Beckett.
Oh, the actor's name Scott Bakula.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. No, but I mean, other than that, I don't know who he is.
Yes, well.
Why, is he important?
Yes. He's one of the most important absurdist playwrights of all time.
Well, now I feel pretty silly for not knowing who he is.
Yeah, well, you know, if you can't make it, I understand.
Oh, no, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I'm looking forward to it. Right. I mean, I heard it's a musical. Who doesn't love a good musical?
Well, I did try to make it more accessible to people like yourself.
Okay. You can tell he's not quite sure how to take that.
Sensing a note of condescension there.
I'm just saying that I heard what everybody said about my last performance, about my last production, you know, when I did A Doll's House, from the perspective of the house.
When you did A Doll's House with dolls in a dollhouse.
Yeah. nobody really liked it.
Well, it was a little hard to see.
And I know that my fourth wall theater, where we installed an actual fourth wall...
Again, it was just a little hard to see.
The only people who had a good seat were in front of that one window.
And that was only when the actors were standing in front of the window.
I mean, it might not have been the best way to do Guys and Dolls, but, you know, it was interesting.
I just realized that perhaps I was aiming too high, and that in order to bring the community into the theater... I needed to make it a little more accessible to the masses.
Well, I mean, I think that sounds great. You know, you bring more people in, you know, expose them to new ideas, and then, you know, the next time you do something a little, a little artsier.
Right. Right. I guess I'll see you tonight.
Then. Oh, you know it.
Oh, you're drinking that stuff too?
Oh, yeah, the vitamin Z. My wife's got me on it. But you get used to the burning sensation after a while.
Yes, well...
It's supposed to be good for you, so... What can you do? All ball and chain says that I need to do it, you know what I mean? He slaps you on the shoulder.
That's why I never got married.
Oh, I bet it is.
All right, you have a good day.
All right, I'll see you later, Professor. I guess that I did well for you. No one's gotten a good ending yet.
All right.
Well, you'd learned that your potential audience is possibly receptive to what you're trying to do.
Right.
And so you have to give that die away.
That's encouraging. Yay.
Yay, Ryan has a possible ending.
I do.
I don't.
Nope.
If you don't have any dice, by the way,
it's zero.
In Act 2, you have to get dice.
Unless Ed gets all the stunt dice.
That's true.
It would just be zero. What a dismal existence.
Which his character kind of, I think, would have earned.
A fate worse than death?
A fate worse than death.
That's steep. Okay, so maybe... maybe it's a little later... Is the power back yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So powers. So maybe it's like.
Maybe Dawn. Since we are, you know, in the zombie apocalypse, and those only get worse. Dawn has a generator.
Okay. Yeah. So Dawn has a generator, which is even more incentive for people to come,
right?
Because it's the only place with power.
Power. Right, so she's like, you know, got everybody. All right, guys. Listen, I'm really sorry to say, Professor, I got the generator going, but we only have enough juice for the work lights, so we're gonna have to deal with those.
Absolutely not.
Listen, if I try to squeeze any more power out of the jetty, it could catch fire. It doesn't really have the capacity to run all of the stage lights.
Are you telling me that that a world-class stage manager like you can't jury-rig this generator to give us a little bit of extra juice?
Well, Professor, I mean, that's not really how it works. There's only so much output that a generator can have, and with, you know, your power in the lights, and then, you know, you have the lights out in the lobby, and the bathrooms, you got to keep those on.
The theater is alive.
I mean, I suppose I could go out to Home Depot and try to get a secondary generator for the stage lights.
Well, maybe you should do that.
All right.
Well, thanks, Don.
That's gonna take a that's gonna take a pretty big bite out of the budget, though.
Well, we'll just have to renegotiate salaries then.
She rolls her eyes and gives you kind of like a whatever look. And
well, ticket sales have been pretty strong. I mean, we're sold out for tonight, right?
We're sold out for tonight?
Yeah, I told you. I sold a whole bunch down to the guys at the shop. And then they told their friends. So last night when I got home, there was a whole bunch of phone messages waiting for me. I sold out the rest of the tickets last night.
I understand.
All 114
and
seats.
And I appreciate your enthusiasm, but if you recall, the last performance your son was in, you sold the tickets to these very gentlemen, and they came to my show.
Oh, they thought it was a hoot.
It was Medea.
Okay.
That's a play about a woman who murders her own children to get back at her ex-husband. It's what? A tragedy.
Well, I mean, in their defense, you did put an awful lot of whoopee cushions in it.
That was not meant as a joke. That was meant to compare her trauma to the waste that comes out of you when you flatulate.
Oh. See, I didn't get that at the time.
It was very obvious, wasn't it, Mark?
Yes. It was all about the effluvia.
No, you all right, Mark?
No. My voice hasn't come back yet.
That's rough.
And I'm terribly hungover this morning.
Oh, well, you know what? Wait a minute. Phil opens up a bag and pulls out a thermos. I brought this for me just in case, but here you go. Some tea.
Oh, thank you.
And Bridget pulls out a little teddy bear of honey. There you go.
It is an adorable little teddy bear of honey. He takes it and kind of looks at it.
Hungover? Were you out drinking last night? With who?
Oh.
Wouldn't that be with whom?
I just went out to Franco's and had a couple of Long Island iced teas.
Oh, just a couple, yes? Who was there? Was Alfred there?
You know, of course Alfred was there. Where else is Alfred going to go on a Saturday night?
Well, I'm sure you and Alfred had a very good time.
if I remember, I'll let you know.
Ah, well, yes, I'm sure that Alfred enjoyed your company very much.
I bet he did.
My company is quite enjoyable, George.
Mark's a
some people
nice
appreciate
guy.
It more than others.
Yes, well, at least I know that some people appreciate you more than just your ass. But not that there's anything wrong with your ass, but there is more to you than your ass, and I just think that Alfred is a bit of an old pervert.
Listen, guys. I don't mean to butt in, but it sounds like there might be something a little interpersonal conflict going on here. I'm picking up a few vibes of animosity. maybe you know it's opening night, tensions are running high, everyone's nervous. Maybe we could just put this on the back burner for now and focus on putting on a good show.
You're right, Mark. He's right.
Yeah, you're right.
Mark, drink up. I know my wife put some vitamin Z in that, so I'll have a little extra kick.
Oh, good. That's just what I wanted, more of that. I see, he takes a big swig and he goes, yeah, you're right. It's opening night. We should be civil.
Am I the only person not drinking this stuff?
Oh, I haven't touched it.
Thank God.
I don't know, just something about drinking something green puts me off.
Oh, you believe me, you're not missing much.
It's like an epidemic.
Yeah. It's like going around like the plague.
That but gives me an idea for a play.
I guess we'll end it there. That ended well for me?
Yeah, you defused the fight.
Okay. So Ed can have a white die, so he can have a possible ending.
All right.
All right, Ryan.
All right.
I know how it's going to resolve for you.
Oh, good.
So you get to decide whether that's good or bad, I guess.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, so we'll continue right from there. And we'll say that...
Oh, wait, just before, so we can introduce that he has sleep apnea.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
So, Mark walks into the theater and he's drinking the tea with the honey and the vitamin Z. And he sees Richard asleep, and not breathing. Oh my God! Oh my God! Phil! Richard! Richard! Potso! Oh my God,
he stopped!
Potso!
Whoa! You alright there, buddy?
Yeah.
It's like you stopped breathing.
Oh, that's just my sleep apnea.
Whoa,
sorry. I didn't detach my machine. I must have dozed off there. Maggie's always scare the dickens out of Maggie.
Well, I could imagine you fall asleep and stop breathing. That's,
Oh, don't worry. I usually wake myself up gasping.
Oh, okay, buddy, but,
You shouldn't do that. That causes heart damage.
Well,
yeah, look at that. Causes heart damage.
Well, I know. I just sometimes fall asleep without it, and I forget.
Oh, maybe you should drink some coffee.
Oh, I don't touch this stuff. Could use a cup of tea.
Oh, here, have some of this.
Oh, thank you.
It's got honey in it and that vitamin Z crap.
Oh, love that stuff. I can't get enough of it.
It gives a little bit of a kick, I hear.
Would you like some?
Oh, no, I'm fine. That's for Phil. I mean, for Mark.
He just downs the whole
okay.
Thermos.
Quite a kick to it.
Yes, so that was the only one I brought, Mark.
Right. I'll just run next door and see if Milt has any hot water left, hopefully.
Yeah. Sounds good. I guess we'll start getting in.
While you're there, if you could get me a little demi snack cake.
Yeah, sure. And then, Mark, how do we want to continue this? you know what would be sufficiently ominous? Mark walks into the deli and there's just nobody there.
Yeah.
And maybe there's like a radio playing.
Yeah.
There's a. No. All citizens are encouraged to evacuate as soon as possible. And Mark just like rubs his temples. Oh my God! And reaches over and turns it off. Milt, are you there? Are you mind? Do you have any hot water left? I'm just going to come around and see if I get myself some tea, all right? All right. And he ducks under the counter, picks up a styrofoam cup, starts to fill it. It's not really steaming at all.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, thanks anyway, Milt.
I think it's like that scene from Shaun of the Dead. Like, you walk out as he rounds a corner, stumbling.
And yeah.
All right,
roll zombies, Ryan.
Here we go. So I need all four.
Hang on, one of them goes back to Ed.
All right.
3, 5, 5, 6.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Did you just ejaculate out of your whole body?
Yeah.
That's weird.
But Holmes, I ejaculated.
Okay.
We're making a lot of ejaculation jokes tonight. I'm sorry, listeners. No, I'm not.
Okay, I'm going with rationality.
All right.
So that's 3, 6. We can't take the risk. We have to kill him before he turns. Ed gets one, I get one, and the other two go back here.
Well, you give one away.
Oh, that's right.
Give it to Ed.
Yeah, why not? Ed can get that. So Ed and I are even up when it comes to our white dice.
And we need a tilt.
Yeah. All right, I'll find the tilt table. So, Ed?
Yeah?
I picked irrationality. We can't take the risk. We have to kill him before he turns.
All right, so we roll our dice. Do stunt dice count for the tilt?
I don't think so. I don't think stunt dice count for anything.
Well, in that case, I have 6 black.
All right.
So I'm doing 1.
You're doing the black one.
Ed, roll your die.
I have 6 white.
I have 6 white.
Okay, we gotta roll again. 4 white.
6 white.
Okay, well, you two have it. So
the tilt. This is a tilt. Oh, we have to roll the rest of the dice.
For what?
The tilt.
Alright. Don't,
stunt dice count for this. Well, use them. Wow. 3s, 4s, and 2.
3, 4, 2?
Yep.
Death out of the blue. No, it can't be that. This is a wild. Could be wild.
Oh, no, there's no wilds for the tilt.
Oh. 3, 4, 2?
Mm-hmm.
So...
At least I don't think there are wilds for the tilt.
No, I don't think so.
Or do we want to just skip the tilt because zombies?
I think the tilt is kind of necessary because things go... That's how things go really wrong.
That's true.
Should I go on the... let's go with guilt.
Yeah.
4.
All right, so we have guilt. All right. And
guilt.
All right. I'll use our only 2 for tragedy.
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 3 and 4.
Yeah, that's it. 3 and 4. Tragedy tomorrow, comedy tonight.
Let's go with death right on time. That's a 4.
4.
Tragedy.
Oh, you picked each other's tilts.
Yeah.
It's like finishing each other's
sentences.
Oh, you're supposed to say something stupid.
Sandwiches.
That's better. All right, so we have 3 and 4. Either somebody develops a conscience or greed leads to killing.
Killing.
Someone develops a conscience.
And then we just have 1 more thing?
No, that's it.
All right, so the rest of those dice go in the center, and then we start into Act 2.
Bum ba da bum, bum bum ba da bum, bum ba da bum, bum 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 ba da bum.
But first, intermission.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay. You start. So remember, so we have, for the tilt, we have guilt, someone develops a conscience, and tragedy, death right on time. For zombies, we have foreboding. Are they drawn here by memory? Instinct? Maybe they're coming for us. And since we have the only lights in town, that makes sense. Yeah. Also, irrationality. We can't take the risk. We have to kill him before he turns.
Okay. So, it's opening night. All right, so it's opening night.
It's opening night. The entire town is dark except for the marquee.
The theater,
the blue box.
The blue box theater.
Right. Since the two of us have that location, it's above the marquee or
atop the marquee.
Atop the marquee. All right, so we're looking up. We're looking up at our names and lights.
Yes. Wow.
I gotta say, Mark, I never expected to see that.
Yeah. Right. It's really great that, what was her name? Dawn was able to pick up those extra generators at Home Depot.
Yeah, she said the place was, like, cleared out.
Well, anything for the theater.
What is it they say? The show has to keep going?
The show must go on.
Right, right. That's it.
Now, I take it your boys are prepared for tonight.
I'm as prepared as can be, Professor.
All ready to go. All right. Now, Potso, Douglas, and you two, let's all hold hands.
Right out here?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't know about the tradition.
Oh, well, we haven't explained it to him.
You see, we're all going to hold hands. We're going to be silent for an entire minute. And when a minute passes, we're all going to open our eyes, and then I'm going to give the signal. I am going to squeeze your hand, and then I'm going to squeeze Mark's hand. And the pulse should pass through the circle, and both should come back to me at the exact same time.
Okay.
Ready? A minute passes. Now. Squeeze.
Squeeze. Why are we saying this?
And then they both come back to him at different times. All right. That didn't work.
Oh, God, what does that mean?
It just means that we need to pay attention to our focus tonight. And also, it usually works with bigger circles. This was... Actually, it sort of should have been easier with a smaller circle, come to think of it.
You would think so, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's an odd number of people. Maybe that has a... No, but okay. We're going to be fine. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yes.
What's the worst that could happen?
I'm sure you'll knock them all dead.
Oh, wow.
Boys, I want you to remember, as you get up there tonight, as you perform, I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to feel pressured. I don't want you to worry about how it's going to affect me. But you should know that if you disappoint me, I will be very, very, very upset with both of you.
Oh, okay, Professor. I'll do my best. And good luck tonight.
Ah!
What?
You don't say that on opening night.
What? Good luck?
No!
On opening night, you say, "Merde."
Wait, so I can't say good luck?
Now, please, Dad, that's like the worst thing you could possibly do.
Go into the parking lot, turn around three times and spit.
Dougie, just go. Dougie, you told me that saying Macbeth was the last thing.
Now, go to the parking lot, turn around six times, and spit twice. Go! Right. Go.
He walks away. I don't get it. All he did was say Macbeth.
Nine times!
So you...
9 times 3 spits!
So, Phil walks out to the parking lot.
All right.
That ended badly for you, because I said Macbeth.
All right.
And Macbeth. So I'm gonna pick it up right from Phil's scene. Phil goes to the parking lot, which is like on the side of the building. And it's like pitch black. There are no lights out there. And he starts spitting around. All right, he wants me to spin and spit. So he 1, 2, 3, spit. 1, 2, 3, spit. 1, 2, 3, spit. Then he stops. He's a little dizzy. Whoa. And then he looks. And there's someone. He could just barely see someone shambling towards him. Oh, whoa. Whoa, who's out there?
You know what it
is? Taylor?
Yeah.
Oh, Taylor! Oh, sorry, buddy. I couldn't see it. It's so dark over here. Look, the show hasn't started yet. You gotta go to the front box office.
In the darkness, you can see, since you said you had a bunch of grease monkey friends, he's wearing, coveralls, and they seem to be stained and spattered with grease.
Yeah, oil.
Well, yeah.
Actually, probably, this is probably, is it brake fluid that's red? It's tranny fluid.
It's probably transmission fluid.
Yeah,
you got it's probably one. All sorts of fluids.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Taylor, you should at least clean up a little bit before the show. I mean, I know, it's community theater.
He looks like he just came from a lube job gone bad.
As he gets closer, he's just shuffling.
He's reaching out to you.
Oh, are you okay, buddy?
He puts his arms on your shoulders and goes to take a big bite out of you.
Whoa, Taylor! I appreciate it, but this is just a one-time show. I'm not.
He stumbles back and falls down on the ground and starts pawing at the air.
Oh, geez. Here, let me help you up. Phil grabs his hand and pulls him back to his feet. There you go. Now look, buddy. Phil turns him around and gives him a little push. Now look, you go home and get cleaned up. You got a half hour before the show starts. Don't give me none of that. Go home, get cleaned up, and then you can come back here.
He kind of just slowly shambles off in the other direction.
Oh, that Taylor. He probably had too much to drink, too. Phil brushes himself off.
You see him shambling towards the bar.
No, Taylor. I said, oh, gee, whatever. Fine. I got to go get into costume. So Phil goes back inside. All right. Now I roll zombies. One, two, three, four. Wow. We only have one, two, three, four. Bigotry at the worst possible moment.
With four dice, that's about the widest spread you could get.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just looking.
Looking.
It's not too late. Amputate the arm. I think I'm gonna go with irrationality again. Oh no, I can't. Okay, yeah. We go with irrationality and a four. I'm not leaving.
Nice.
All right. It is Ryan's scene. It is Mark's scene.
All right.
Here you are, sir.
There you go.
Two back to Ed, one to me, one stays in the middle.
All right, so I think we should, you know, we should go back to the opening scene of Waiting for Godot, the musical. It's this, sort of the same shot with the same setup, except you can see a bunch of figures who seem to be moaning in anticipation.
Just shambling around the seats.
And you know, house lights are already down, lights up on the stage, and the two of us are seated there on the park bench.
Mark,
what?
I'm kind of nervous now.
Don't worry, you'll be fine.
Here we go. Okay. You guys are sitting backstage. The curtain is closed. I run on.
What? Why isn't the curtain open? Dawn! Where's Dawn?
I haven't seen her since you brought back the Jennies. She said like 2 hours ago she was going to go outside and check on them. She never came back.
Fine. I'll open the curtain. Be ready. Patricia, are you ready? All right.
All right.
He starts to pull down on the rope, and the curtain opens, and you're blinded by the light.
Oh, wrapped up like a noose in the rotor in the night.
Nothing to be done.
I'm beginning to come round to that opinion. All my life I've tried to put it from me, saying, Vladimir, be reasonable. You haven't yet tried everything, and I resumed the struggle. So there you are again.
Am I?
Yeah, he's called him. I'm glad to see you're back. I thought you were gone forever.
Me too.
Together again at last. We'll have to celebrate. But how?
Help me off with these boots, and I'll show you.
And then we see someone stumble forward. And, well, I figure the stage has like a little 6-inch lip.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not really off. So that someone just stumbles forward and hits it and falls. Oh, jeez. Wait, where's the music? Isn't the music supposed to start playing?
Patricia! Vamp!
That guy... And the guy starts to get back up.
Sir, you need to go back to your seat now. Richard! Pazzo!
I smack him.
He doesn't move.
I take off his jacket and put it on me and put his hat on. And I just look at you guys and make a...
What does that mean? Stretch it out.
So.
Gosh, these laces are hard to get open.
Yeah, you put triple knots in these. Yeah, it seems.
Yes, I did.
Sorry,
you really need to go back to your seat.
Yes, sir. Oh man, he's acting like Taylor. I think everyone's drunk.
Oh great.
So finally,
I told them not to do this.
Finally, George gets all of his clothes on. I am Pazzo.
Fire Pazzo!
I think everyone in the audience looks at you, and we can hear chairs falling, you know, getting knocked over, and people falling all as all the zombies in the audience start shuffling towards the stage.
And you must get off the stage, sir. And I take his, he takes the big truncheon that Pazzo carries and hits the guy, knocks him back off the stage.
And the guy just starts walking forward again. Like shambling, and as you stand on the edge of the stage, you can see like a dozen more people in the audience walking towards the stage.
And all of a sudden, the house lights come on.
Don! Who put that? What's going?
And then we see the mob of bloody.
And for some reason, because it's dramatic, the moans just increase in volume as the house lights come on.
Oh my god!
What the hell is wrong with them?
Oh, Didi!
No! Get to the dressing room! Get to the dressing room now!
One of them, like, lurches onto stage and goes to grab you out, and you duck under him.
Yeah.
And we all just run to the dressing room. Running past Phil.
Who?
I'm Phil!
Yeah,
running past Richard, who wakes up.
Just punch him as we run past. Alright, well, I gave you a bad die, Ryan.
Okay, I'm the guy who came up on stage before. I'm like, oh, these laces actually like starts crawling towards me and bites me on the ankle.
I run up and kick him off.
Come on,
we gotta go.
Hobble back to the dressing room and lock the doors.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. I saw Taylor out in the parking lot. I just thought he was drunk, but... Jesus. It's like they're all...
That guy bit me!
Oh, okay.
I've seen this movie. He's gonna turn. He's gonna become like them.
What do you mean?
We have to kill him.
I pick up...
Whoa, Professor! I Phil grabs you. Whoa, Professor! Calm down. Let's not jump to any conclusions. Those people could all just be... on some kind of weird drug.
Vitamin C! Oh my god. Oh my god, I was drinking it. You see, he's gonna turn, we have to kill him!
Wait, Professor!
This is all because I spent the night with Alan the other night, isn't it?
You actually spent the night with Alan, you bitch!
Yeah, thank you!
I thought it would be funny for Phil to say that.
Well, it wasn't like I was in my right mind at the time. I was blind drunk.
Okay.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be drinking with Alan the ass.
Guys, we had this talk before about tabling it. I think that's even more important now, considering zombies.
Oh, come on. You've never even done a theater performance before. You don't know what goes into one.
I will have you know that I put a tremendous amount of work into every little show that Dougie does. And, oh, my God, where's Dougie? I just heard he's sitting in the corner of the dressing room. Oh, thank God.
he comes out of the bathroom and he goes,
Is Act 1 over already?
Oh, God, Dougie. Oh, I'm so glad you're safe. Listen, the show's been postponed.
Have you been bitten by anybody yet, young man?
No. I was just using the bathroom.
Okay, good. There might be a whole bunch of zombies outside. That we hear pounding on the door. Oh, boy. Is there any other way out of the dressing room?
There is the trap door that leads to the other trap door under the stage.
So we could get back onto the stage.
Yes.
I've got an idea. What if we make a lot of noise back here? We get all the zombies to come back into the back hallway. And then we sneak down under the stage and out through the house.
I guess it's the best shot we're going
to
get.
He runs over to the locked props cabinet. There's that whole bowl of firecrackers that we used in the Uncle Sam's birthday production.
We used in Man of La Mancha.
Here.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that one. Why was he shooting a firecracker? Never mind, it doesn't matter. All right, so we set off the firecracker. So Phil opens the trap door. Whoa, it's dark down there. I guess normally there would be lights, but no power.
Speaking of which, oh God, the Jennies are out in the hallway. Everything goes pitch dark.
Why did you have to say that?
Phil, you hear Phil stumble over to a table, and then a second later he picks up the phone and there's a flashlight.
All right, they all have them now.
Yeah, everyone does.
He picks up his phone. That was really silly for a second. Anybody else feel a little stupid?
Yeah. No. Dougie goes, he just hits a button and his phone turns into a flashlight.
Oh, yeah, we can just...
Oh, right, yeah. That's right. What it is.
All right, so let's set a short fuse. Let's set a slow fuse.
I don't think firecrackers have fuses Professor.
Well, we'll have to light them somehow.
Well, you just light it and stand back. It's
right. What I'm saying, we'll put does anybody have a cigarette or anything?
What?
Does anybody have a cigarette? We'll do a slow fuse. So
who smokes anymore?
Dougie goes. I found this.
We could just light it and jump down the tunnel. We don't need a slow fuse.
Fine. I want it to be fancy.
Look, Professor, this is a life or death situation, so I feel like I should just tell you. You suck at being fancy. Now get down there.
If you weren't so talented, I would fire you right now.
Okay. You're first, Professor.
All right.
So we all filed down.
you look back. You look back at Mark, and he's sitting there, and he goes, "No, I'm not going."
What? Mark, why not?
I'm not going anywhere with him.
Oh, my God. Look. He will apologize. Professor, won't you apologize?
No, I'm not apologizing.
Oh, my God. It's like...
See? If we're in a survival situation, I don't want to live with him.
Yeah, go get eaten. I think you'll be doing the world a favor. We'll hire a talented actor to play Estragon then.
I don't think we're hiring anyone to play anybody right now. So you would rather sit here and die than escape in the same vicinity as him.
Well, when you put it that way, it sounds really silly.
Yes, yes it does, doesn't it? Now get down the goddamn tunnel!
Fine. He gets up and begins hobbling.
Phil starts climbing down, pulls out a lighter, lights the firecrackers, and then closes the trap door. And as we're going down, we go boom, 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 and then a crack as the door breaks and zombies come pouring into the room.
Okay, now where do we go? Well, if we go straight, there's a staircase, there's a ladder on the other side that we can use to climb up and pop out of the stage.
Okay, you first.
All right. You know what? Probably we should, I think, from Man of La Mancha, there's still a couple of prop swords down here. So why don't you
You take this.
Phil takes the sword and grabs it and just bends it in half. I don't think these are going to be much help.
Well, it's still metal.
Not really.
Feel the tip. It's a little sharp.
He's right, it's sharp. I cut myself.
Yeah, he cut himself.
Had to go to the emergency room and everything.
On that?
Well,
what are you, made of tissue paper?
He is a bit of a wimp.
Oh, did you see? Do you see? I'm gonna go right back to the zombies now.
Fine, go.
Yes, go.
I don't really want to go.
That's what I thought. Here, take your little toy sword and go march down that hall.
And me,
hey, you too.
All right, and I'll take the mace.
Mace is made of cardboard.
Yeah, well, so is your performance.
Oh, my God. I'm going to let the zombies eat both of them. I grab Dougie's hand, and we follow down the hall.
Dougie looks up at you. It's that weird vitamin Z stuff, isn't it?
I think so.
Mom's been drinking that an awful lot, hasn't she?
I'm sure she's fine. We'll get out of here, we'll go home, and then we'll get Mom. She'll be fine.
Whose scene was this, Ryan?
Yeah. Well, we escape zombies. Or do we want to add more zombies?
Well, no, I got bitten. That was still my scene, right?
Oh, this one was my scene.
Yeah, this one was Ed's scene. We did escape zombies. And you got a good line okay. out on
right.
me.
Yeah, that was Ed's scene. All right, so my scene. I'm just gonna resolve with a zombie die.
Right.
I don't want that white die.
Alright, so I think Ryan starts to turn. Or...
So this is it?
Well,
we have to get out first. At least out of the tunnel.
Yeah, well, we pop out of the stage.
There's like two zombies left here. All the others are down the hall trying to get us in the dressing room. And as you climb out, you get out.
We see... we see
Zombie Richard.
I was going to say that we pop up and we see Zombie Richard, walking from the wings towards the stage.
I figure you run over and go, ah, and hit him with the mace, and the mace just breaks.
I told you, Georgie, it's made of cardboard.
Everybody, get out of here.
We run past the piano and
and Patricia,
zombie Patricia, starts. She's like stuck. She's like tucked in, so she's stuck.
Yeah,
and she reaches for us, and the top part of her torso just tears off.
Ooh,
and she falls over and just starts dragging herself towards us.
Oh! Rush, everybody, run!
Run faster!
You just see Dawn in the lighting booth, like. Banging against the door.
No, the lights just start going crazy as she's just hitting like all the buttons as she's trying to move herself around. And
she's climbing over the lighting booth to get through the glass door.
So the house lights are going up and down, and all the lights are just going off.
And you hear some music is playing from a previous show because she's hitting the sound cue.
Yeah,
there's from Man of La Mancha. I am my Don Quixote.
We run outside. My truck's out front. Quick, everybody, get in.
All right,
fellas, I don't feel so good. All of a sudden, I'm starting to feel really sick.
I told you, he's turning. We have to kill him before he turns.
No, we're not killing anybody. You get in the back with him, and if it gets bad, just push him out.
Yeah, sure.
So you two hop in the bed, Dougie and I get in the cab, and we start driving off. And as we're driving, we drive through town, and there's just zombies wandering the streets. Jesus, it's like it's everybody.
All right, should we?
I gotta roll zombies. Blast zombies. Ooh, I got a six. And a five. Two fives.
Yeah.
Safety or escape? The military will clean this up. Let's just hold tight. Or a one. Boat keys. Ooh. I think so. Last one is going to be safety, gun shop.
Nice. Nice.
So, as we're driving, that's your die, Ryan.
Yeah.
So we're driving, and the as we're driving, Phil sees the gun shop, and just pulls the car over and stops in front and gets out. We might be able to make a stand.
You really think so?
It's worth a shot.
Yes.
Shot. Sorry, wrong time for puns.
No, but that was very good.
Oh, thank you.
Have you ever done improv?
What?
Improv theater.
No. I was
trying to put together a group. Well, Mark and I have, but he might be dead in a few minutes.
Well, I mean, I'm always interested in doing some more theater stuff. Dad, this isn't the time. Oh, right, sorry. So we run in. The door to the gun shop is open.
Okay.
We run in. All right, here we go. Arm yourselves, guys.
Right.
Mark
like looks around and picks up like an enormous shotgun, roots around in the ammo case for shells and begins like fumbling them out.
George looks at you. If I remember correctly, you won the golden stag for the hunting competition last year.
Shucks, you remember that?
Why don't you take this rifle and go on the roof? You can pick them off as they make their way in.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, Dougie, you come with me.
We'll hold the fort down here.
Right, make sure they don't get... If they do,
anyone that gets through, we'll take them down.
Right, run up and join us on the roof, and then we could jump one or two stores over and go down that way.
Excellent.
All right, so Phil grabs the big rifle and takes Dougie up onto the roof. And then a few minutes later, you start hearing.
This is Ryan.
Yeah. Scene.
Yep.
So you go upstairs. It looks like I could use another clip. Can you go to the ammo cabinet and grab some for me?
Sure. Listen, Georgie. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that I slept with Hallie.
I know, young man.
The guy who bit me. I don't want to die, Georgie. I don't want to die.
I know. I don't want you to die either. But I want you to know that I forgive you for Alan.
That's good to know. I love you, Georgie.
I love you too. Now put the shotgun down and go and get me some ammo.
Alright. He sets it down and begins hobbling over.
It's like
to
a mice and men over here.
He turns his back on you and
you just hear a click. And when you turn around and you turn around and he's just got a big revolver.
Or
I was gonna say you have to take the safety off, Georgie.
No. I was gonna say you hear no. Ed meant the click of the gun.
Yeah, I know.
It depends. Would you kill him or would you just off yourself?
No.
As you turn around, the gun's just pointed at you.
No. You see, what I was gonna say was that I would be about to shoot him, and then a horde of zombies would like drag me out of the window.
Well, I mean, we have to roll a resolution, so maybe...
I'm not necessarily dead, I just get...
Right, no, I was going to say, we'll stop with, they come crashing in.
Yeah.
Alright.
So that way, you guys are in the room with the zombies.
You just hear the click of the gun cocking. I'm sorry about this, I really am. I've got to kill you before you turn.
I didn't roll.
Alright.
The other goes.
Not well for Ed.
So that's...
Not bad for me. White, nine white.
Ah.
Four white.
Really? Four black. Phil deserved better. But zombies.
Hang on, I gotta get to the core rules. Alright, black high. What did you guys get?
Four.
Four. Savage. Savage as in something is broken or mashed. Maybe you've got a permanent limp and a bad reputation, plus you totally fail.
Dougie gets it.
See, so. Your theater career is over.
Right.
I think that's what happens to you. Right. You survive, but your theater career is over.
And what did you get?
Four white.
Four white. Alright. Bitter. You know what it's like to be utterly crushed, casually brought low, forced to eat your own words, and stand mute and powerless before your enemies. They gloat and you are helpless.
Alright, so maybe I get eaten, probably.
No, you're not dead.
What if like you managed to like wring your way out of the horde of zombies, and there's like you run down the darkened streets of town, and you climb a chain link fence, like there's like a really small fenced in area, maybe like down an alley or something that nobody can get in. And you realize that you're in the alley next to the local paper. Oh. And the theater critic, as a zombie, shambles out of the building and, you know, corners you like you can't get out now.
I always knew it would end like this!
I like it. So I get cornered by the theater critic.
Theater critic zombie?
Yeah.
And what'd you get, Ryan?
I got, nine white. nothing to crow about. No better, but not way worse either. Maybe the car is wrecked, or your wife is leaving you, or there's a court date, but compared to some of the other people you know.
You've become the best zombie actor.
Zombie or not zombie? That is the question. But the answer is zombie.
It's like, what the fuck is that movie? The book. Oh, fuck, what the hell is the title of that movie? Omega Man was based on it. Will Smith was in the...
Yeah. Oh!
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I've read it.
Oh, why? That's... I can't believe I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, it just went right out of my head.
But yes, that.
He's like the only human left in a sea full
so
of...
So you're immune to the zombie virus.
Right.
This is going to piss me off.
Yeah.
So you're immune to the virus.
And I put on cheesy performances of...
Apparently it's a blaxploitation film? I am Legend.
I am Legend. That's yeah. It. So it's like for me, my ending is I am the main character, and I am Legend, the only human in a sea of zombies. And maybe
they like can't like you're like you have the virus in you, but you're immune.
Yeah,
so like,
I haven't.
They don't attack you.
And I put on old musicals at the Blue Box by myself.
For an audience of zombies.
For an audience of zombies.
That you have, like, chained into the theater
right.
So they can't leave.
And maybe since sometimes, you guys...
you star opposite zombies. Anything you can do, I can do better. No, you can't. No, you can't.
And I so as we you know,
and you're always the lead though,
right? I always get top billing.
There's one other human who didn't get bit. Two other, you and Dougie are.
Well, no, because he's immune.
Yeah,
me and Dougie just leave town.
Yeah,
my theater career's over.
Dougie and I go home, but my wife has turned, so I kill her, and then we just get the fuck out.
Right, and you two are horribly scarred by the experience.
Yep.
And I've just gone stark raving nuts because I'm
oh, we become Rick and Carl.
Yeah.
You do.
Carl. All
right.
That was fun.
All right. So I think the title of this episode is Waiting for Godot, the musical with zombies.
I like it.
All right.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to hate myself for pretending to lose my voice for an hour.
Because you're going to lose your voice?
Because I'm really going to lose my voice.
And if you enjoyed this, pretend to be a baby for an hour.
That's right.
Or don't.
Play Big Booty.
Play Big Booty.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.